But, well, I realized that teaching English was like the last thing I wanted to do.
Sure.
But at one point I realized that that's probably the best thing I could do.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
I wasn't really interested in that. And I don't think I have like the legitimate method of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have a degree of education or so on.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been educated how to educate people.
Sure.
But I have, so for now I have enough experience how to teach adults.
Yeah.
I mean, so Lehman Shock was the time that I started doing this kind of thing. And then so the Tohoku earthquake changed the situation again. Then I made everything online. And then now we are facing this another world crisis. And it's hopefully it's going to give us another turning point to benefit other people by something that I know.
Hey there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Katalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill Cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides the sushi and sumo, anime and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on. People that are hungry for making it and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. Well, hello, everybody. I hope you are all well and still staying safe. And welcome back to another Made in Japan podcast episode. I'll be honest with you, this month I was not planning to do many episodes as, you know, part of my thing, my gig is to go out and interview guests that are living in Japan and, you know, having made it in Japan. But due to the circumstances of what's happening recently and how we're kind of experiencing, I don't want to say a lockdown, it's more, it's as they call it in Japan, a state of emergency. And that was, this just happened. The Prime Minister just announced it yesterday. And I thought the guest we have on today would be a perfect guest to have on to talk about what we can do in terms of, you know, life, you know, in time, in especially in Japan, not a quarantine, but like a semi-quarantine. Anyways, I was planning to have her on, and her name is Koko Yano. She is the founder of Kaon Online, and what it is, it's like an online educational program for clients and for prospective online educators who are willing to teach English or other languages online. And she, you know, we're acquaintances, but basically we first hooked up from hanging out at parties together. Especially if you listen to episode 22, I talk about the hip hop DJs of The Breakdown. There are three DJs that used to hold an event in Shibuya, Tokyo, an old school hip hop event, which is now defunct. But anyways, I met Koko there one party, and I found out later that she was in a very similar field as I am in. And I thought, you know, one day I was going to have her on as a guest to show her work and her, you know, what she's doing now. And I felt this was the most appropriate time to talk about what can we do, you know, now that schools are out and things are kind of in a semi-shutdown mode. I wanted her to go on to talk about her company and what she does, because I think her company is really the future of global education. And I heard many podcasts that have talked about what's going on in the world with the current situation with this pandemic crisis. And I'm not here to, you know, echo what everyone is voicing their opinions about. I'm here to talk and discuss with Coco about what she's doing to help out with her capacity. I think this was the right time to do this episode. We met almost a day or 2 days before the Prime Minister handed out the state of emergency address. So we actually met up at a park and discussed this and what she can do to help out with what's going on in the world right now. So, but yeah, I'm just going to let it go. And I hope you guys find it beneficial to hear what Coco's company is doing. And if you are interested, I would highly recommend, if you live in Japan or somewhere in the world that is interested in online education, especially in English teaching or any type of language teaching, I would really recommend that you check out the story of Coco. And let's have it. Without further ado, this is Coco Yano, the founder of Calm Online. And here we go.
But, you know, my life is amazingly, like almost surprisingly, haven't changed at all. Because I've been working at home for years now. And then clients are just, you know, over the internet, and that's completely the same.
Yeah.
And I don't go out on the weekends much.
Yeah.
But that's also a good thing, because I was always feeling the pressure to go out on the weekends, because
who's giving you pressure to go out?
Myself.
What do you?
Because, you know, think about it.
I got a party tonight.
Yeah, I got a party on the weekend. Because if you are stuck in the house all day during the whole weekdays, and then if you wanna, you don't wanna stay at home on the weekend, so you feel some kind of pressure, even though you are tired and you want to stay in bed.
Yeah.
I was always feeling some sort of pressure to go out over the weekend, so that, you know, I can at least socialize in person,
right,
you know?
Well, but do friends, are friends always saying, hey, Coco, come out, or?
Not like that.
Okay.
You know, after the breakdown is over,
yeah,
I once in a while show up to the some sort of events,
right,
like speakeasies,
right.
Or like some other events that, right, whenever I have the invitation, I just show up.
Because every time I go to, and I don't often go out either, but mm-hmm, when I go out, I do see you, and
right,
I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like, you're a happening lady. What the hell is going on? Like, you're always out.
It's like I can't reject. Every time I get the invitation, I just show up.
Yeah.
Because I was giving myself some pressure.
Right.
You know, you got to socialize at least. You can't be stuck in the house 7 days a week.
Well, this is, I mean, now how timely it is, it's the best excuse just to stay home.
Exactly. You know? So that's why, to that degree, I'm so happy.
Yeah. Well, however, on the contrary, we're recording this. So, I mean, Coco, I'm just glad that we got together for this, and we're in Hibiya Park.
Right.
When was the last time you've been here in Hibiya?
I can't.
Or Hibiya Park.
Hibiya Park.
Yeah.
I can't even remember, but like that was like last year, last summer or
okay.
So. Do they have a festival?
They're always having
like German beer festival.
Yeah,
kind of thing?
They would have like Oktoberfest in like the middle of like July.
Oh yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I've been here. I think Rory invited me.
Okay.
Like that was last year, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but like we're here, and we're in the moment of almost certainty there is going to be a lockdown in Tokyo, and. But I don't really want to talk to you about that, really. I want to talk to you about what you're doing and who you are. So let's, tell me about it. there's a reason why I brought you here.
Okay, wow. You're making me feel nervous, finally. I'm so nervous, finally. Well,
Well, you can start with introducing yourself.
Introduce myself. All right, my name is Coco. I'm running a like a small business for since 2013. And so it's the online language school. Then my clients are mostly Japanese corporations. And then so those people had no idea what they were doing in the beginning. Then after the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers, a lot of mainly Japanese corporations had to, you know, they had no choice to enter overseas markets. And then so all the like typical Japanese employees, engineers type of people had to study English so that they can do businesses in English.
Well, so the banking crisis was 2008. And you said, and so did you start your business exactly 5 years later, or was it right immediately after?
I was working for I was working for IT related foreign based companies before, and then after Lehman shock, I always wanted to start out my own business, and then but I wasn't sure what I'm going to do, and then so I started like doing the translating freelance kind of stuff, and also started teaching English as well, like at cafes or where I visit offices.
I remember every English teacher, quote unquote English teacher, was scrambling that time, and like I just remember going to like a Dotor cafe and you'd see like five English teachers.
Yeah, I know, right? And the students are so self-conscious about it, right?
And they're all looking at each other while they're teaching their private lesson. I remember those days.
Yeah, so I was one of them.
Yep.
Right, and then so one of my biggest clients, they are located in Fukushima.
Oh, wow.
And then they are still my biggest client. So we started out like four people. That was like around five people, five participants. Yeah. Now we have 42. So it's as we grow, they grow, we grow. And then so that they are still the biggest client. But anyway, so then we had, after the Lehman shock, we had the Tohoku earthquake.
That's right.
And then so I didn't care much. So I was visiting their office in Fukushima every month. I didn't care much about radiation. But, of course, the company was paying me for all the transportation, like the bullet train, right? Then I go there, then I give, like, two classes there. Then I thought that that wasn't very efficient.
How long were the classes?
I gave two classes, then 60 minutes. So I was there only for, like, 2 hours.
2 hours, and then you go back.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I came back. Yeah. Right, and then so then that was really inefficient. And then even the participants, most of them, of course, that was a special day for them. Like, I go there, like, every month.
The English teacher's here.
Well, no, not that. Well, I guess, no, but I was going to say that. So some of them had more higher priority, sometimes higher priority tasks. And then so even I go there, took the bullet train, and I go there, I show up, right? But I have only, like, one or two students. And then I was thinking, you know, this is not working exactly. And then the idea came up. Then I suggested the company that we can probably make everything online. And then so that was like in 2012. And then so because the biggest client said yes, then we started to make everything online. I decided to make everything online. Then I decided to start on my own.
That's, I mean, and it was great because you have that IT background.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you thought about that in the beginning as well?
Not exactly.
Okay.
Actually, not exactly. But ultimately, I wanted to put all the skills together. Yeah. So IT knowledge was also one of them.
Okay.
And so when I thought about the idea, I thought, like, that's it. I can probably use all kinds of things that I know, then I can share with people. I can put everything together. And then so that was 2013.
Right.
And so before that, I was more like freelancer.
Yeah.
And so 2013, I gave my business a name. Kalon Online.
I wanted, and then I started. How did that name come up, the Kalon Online? Because I had a hard time pronouncing it at first.
C-A-L-N. You can say that.
Because the moment I read it on your business card, uh-huh. it's I don't know why, immediately I just thought California Online.
Oh, yeah.
And is that something?
Mm-mm, no.
Because okay. There's a picture of a sun.
Yeah.
And like it just says Cal Online. I'm like, California right. Online.
Well, I was in California though. But so my real name, full name is Kotoko Yano. Then that's Kotoko Yano. Mm-hmm. So if you scramble the alphabets, it can be like Coco Anthony. That's when I realized that I can use this name, right? Because people have hard time pronouncing my name. So right. I can be like Coco Anthony. And then for my new name, my initial is CA, right? Uh-huh. And then so that LN is language network.
That makes sense then. Okay. Yeah. But you know, as I keep looking at it's a very tight looking name. And what I mean by tight, I mean that it's very perfect for a brand.
You know think I mean? So?
Well, if you have it with the right font and it's short, uh-huh. you know, it's not like a typical acronym like, you know, Rise Up. Or, I don't know if is GABA an acronym?
I have no idea. I never even thought about that, but there like, should be something. But like, no.
But I think with your company, it's just easy to say.
Also, naming is really interesting, I think.
It's really important, and people don't... I think a lot of people don't think about how naming is really important for their business.
Well, yeah. Then now that I've been using the same name for years, then I'm getting used to, then it's just interesting.
Right,
I thought of probably better names before, but when I started, it just... it was almost decided.
So, I want to know though. Let's go back before.
Okay.
Where did you start having the interest of not just online English, but like where was the beginning of your interest in education, or was it something that you just picked up along the way with IT, or I'm just curious where you started with your interest.
To be really honest, I never thought that I wasn't really interested in education.
Okay. Hey, it's
to
it's
make it yes.
Yeah, to be honest, yeah.
But, well, I realized that teaching English was like the last thing I wanted to do.
Sure.
But at one point I realized that that's probably the best thing I could do as well.
Yeah.
I wasn't really interested in that. And I don't think I have like the legitimate method of teaching because I don't have a degree of education or so on. Mm-hmm. I've never been educated how to educate people.
Sure.
But I have, so for now I have enough experience how to teach adults.
Yeah.
I mean adults. Yeah. Adults are a different thing than teaching kids.
Oh yes, yeah.
So... does that answer the question?
Sure, no, it's fine. I want to know with the adult teaching, what was your, you know, you mentioned about your client that you grew with in Fukushima.
Mm-hmm.
That must have given you some like big satisfaction of doing this, you know, having that relationship with the client.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this moment, I mean, did you ever think, with online education, online teaching, did you ever think that it is really important and really essential now in Japan? Or not even just Japan, but all over Asia.
All over the world.
Did you thought about that?
It really is, right? Yeah. It's probably could be the hope, right? For now, under this crazy circumstance.
Mm.
Because otherwise, we all have to be sitting in the house doing nothing.
Exactly.
And so there are so many people who want to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so a lot of people are trying to find something that they can do. Mm. They can spend their time more productively.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, I'm talking about not only kids, but also adults.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are eager enough to, you know, improve yourself or do something in the future, or we can't just be afraid and sitting in the house.
Right.
So in that sense, online teaching, online education for now is like the hope that we have.
Yeah.
That's something in general for the people currently under this current situation. Mm. So when it comes to my clients, I'm always very proud of them, because when they started studying with me, they were like very, how can I say, like not the typical, well, could be typical, but so their proficiency level was like beyond your expectation.
Sure.
It's like, so what's airplane in English? It's like, but, you know, all Japanese studied English at junior high and high school, but they're like, if I say a dog, maybe they would recognize dog, cats.
Right.
But what's airplane? So that level. Mm-hmm. And then so we have to start from really, really the basic.
Right.
And then now they are doing the business overseas. So they are developing the monitoring system for electricity generation. So the mainly European countries have much higher technology on that.
Yep.
So they go to Europe. Some of them are stuck in Netherlands. And then so they go to Colombia.
Right.
They go to, so they have some presentation session in the States.
And they go to, now it's essential because, as you said, you know, some people, workers are stuck in a different country.
Yeah.
But also, as well, I'm sure you know with your clients, and you know, we're in a very similar field of work.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you know that a lot of clients are often going on business trips.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have to resort to online
speaking.
And I'm pretty sure you know really well that it is totally different, like
teaching in a classroom
compared to online teaching. And it's a different set of skills.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, going back to my original question, like how being, you know, did you know that it was such an essential thing to have online education, online teaching? And I think, you know, I just want to support that topic, that now it's really essential to have both the classroom and the online.
Right.
I think you're providing something that a lot of the corporations and a lot of people who are working in these big companies with global work, global, you know, in a global economy, they need much more experiences with the online meetings, online discussions, because it's so different, you know?
It is. So. Right. So the...
For Japanese.
Especially for Japanese, I guess. Like in the teaching technique or teaching wise, it's much different. It is different. So there are some... you need to learn some... something like what to do if it's online.
I've refused many clients for me to not teach online business because I'm a very physical, and physical by meaning I'm very organic in classroom.
Right.
I'm not like touching.
Well, I know what you mean.
But like I'm all about face to face. I'm all about like human interaction, and I purposely don't do online because I don't feel I have the necessary skills to do that.
I get it. And it's very interesting to me that if students have to learn just completely like playing the app and doing stuff, you know, the, what's it called? Like,
just learning.
Like e-learning.
E-learning, yeah.
Programs.
Yep.
They get bored. They are not learning anything. Yeah. So at least the online classes are like, you know, it's very important, I think, that you show your face.
Yeah.
And then, like, they show their face, too. So the cameras always have to be on so that you can see their expressions, you know, they are thinking or they're just being stuck. So it's all given an online class, like, in between.
Yeah.
So not 100% without the human interactions, but it's more like... But I do understand why you prefer it that way. So there is something that you probably cannot fully perceive through the internet.
Sure.
Yeah, so I get that point. Mm. Like virus? Right.
Sure. Zing! Oh, man. But, like, so tell the listeners, what are you doing now? Because you mentioned earlier today, like, what you're doing with your company for online, you know, helping out the situation.
Right. So now we are about to start giving the new course for the people who would like to start teaching online. So especially since we are English online school, we of course would be happy to teach English teachers who would like to start teaching online or who would like to, you know, start out the business, teaching anything, pretty much anything. You can teach, everything, anything online. And I think really beneficial for people who can provide such content, and also people who would like to learn something, just like, you know, we talked briefly, that people are, well, there are a lot of people who would like to spend time under this circumstance more productively, right? So we believe that this kind of course can provide a very good opportunity to both providers, I mean the teachers and the students.
How long for prospective online teachers, how long are these courses?
It depends. Okay. But as the starter, we are thinking about 4 sessions.
Okay.
So that, you know, I can just listen to what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, for example, if you would like to start out teaching online, right?
Yeah.
Probably side hustle. You can start out that.
I could while I'm podcasting.
Yeah, of course.
By the way, just a moment, student. I gotta do some editing first. I'm gonna go to my other computer. All right. By the way, what page is it?
You can do that. Well, no, you can't. Not that way.
Oh man.
But I can hear what style you, what kind of teaching style you would like to give, like, definitely you are prioritizing the, you know, interaction, like, so you originally prefer to give a class in person, right?
Okay.
So I can consider that, then you can probably, you know, use this tool, and I know I have a lot of knowledge about the tools and apps and so on.
Actually, that's my next question, because I knew you had a lot of expertise in this. I was going to ask you, what would be the, I mean, there's so many right now. There's like the Skype, there's Zoom, Microsoft Teams. What do you recommend? Is there, like, do they have their pros and cons for specifically for English learning?
Yes. That's why we decided to start out this new course, because it really depends. Depends on what style and what expectations the teachers and the students have. So, well, there are a lot of pros and cons of each program. So it really depends. That's why we set up the 4 sessions, and we can just, you know, listen to the expectations, and then finally we can recommend what to do.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the tools and how to do what to do.
What would be ideally for you, what would be like the maximum number of people online that you would recommend?
So
like 4 to, like, I know like Microsoft Teams can do like more than up to 20, I think. I think 20, 30?
Could be.
So I'm just wondering, where would be that magic student number?
So you are like a huge seminar or
something? Yeah, like a huge thing, right.
Because
often I would be, preferably, I usually like to prefer, I've gotten up to 30, 35, but preferably I enjoy the happy, like, 10 to 12. I can do 15, but, like, 10 to 12. But, like, I'm just curious, like, in online, would that be comfortable, like, having 10 students?
10, if there are 10, it's really hard to have a real conversation, right? So if it's just a one-way seminar, it can be probably 30, 40. I think that technically it's possible, I guess. But if you prefer to interact with them, 10 would be too many, I would say. And so about the program, no, I never tried that many people. I'm some other location than, like, there are a bunch of people over there via some teleconferencing system. But I never tried so many people, you know, in a different location.
So thinking about, like, the students, how are there any programs where the students can, like, you know, you can, there's a mode where you can, like, shut off the teacher for, and then they can practice during the session. Uh-huh. I wish there was like software like that where the teacher can set up the activity, mm-hmm. and then like the students that are participating, they can have their own little private chat windows, and then they can do it.
I do that sometimes.
Oh, really?
So the teacher can be on mute.
Yeah.
And you can turn off the camera, then that's it.
And they can just talk.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you find their progress though? You're just observing.
Yes, just observing.
Now you said you also have a kids program too.
Yes, we do.
How does that work?
So the kids course is quite interesting.
Tell me more.
I don't teach kids.
Yeah.
So that was one of the policies that we had before. Like we don't do kids. We ran into a very good program that is called Kids Brown.
Okay.
That's that. Do you know that? Have you ever heard of it?
Not familiar with
it. It's a program.
Yeah.
And then our instructor, she specializes in teaching kids.
Uh-huh.
She has multiple certificates for teaching small children.
Okay.
And then so she's using that program.
Okay.
And then I totally fell in love with it.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
It's
you
pretty
just
cool.
Adopted it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's cool.
It is really cool.
And do you think now, have you find that parents are starting to get into this program more with this current situation?
Or? That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But it appears that it's not much.
Okay.
it's kind of sad though. Right. We thought that we're gonna have a lot of applications,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't.
All right. So, moving on, I want to know what do you think? You're mentioning about your program for helping the instructors
mm-hmm.
Doing their online business. What you said, a lot of it depends on the type of teacher, their teaching style.
Mm-hmm.
What would you recommend? What type of person or what type of personality would you recommend that should be interested in doing this online teaching? What would it take to be an online teacher? You know,
I guess. Well, first of all, you have to be open to the new technology, I guess.
Yeah.
That's probably, otherwise you just have to be stuck to the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
Good old
pen and paper.
Right, pen and paper, or like writing something on a whiteboard,
yeah.
and students, it's very time-consuming.
Right.
Once in a while, it's probably cool to do it.
I might fail, Coco, because I'm still...
You like it?
I'm old school. I'm still the type. Look at me.
This is
fun. Memopad, but I write stuff on my memopad.
Uh-huh.
Then I transfer it to my smartphone.
Oh my!
And then it's on on the cloud, right? And then
uh-huh.
I get home, and my notes on my smartphone is now transferred to the computer. And then I rewrite it again.
Mm.
So I'm editing three times. But I grew up like this. Like, I'm old school. Like,
I mean, if you were trying to memorize something, that's probably the best way.
Or editing.
Editing as well. Well.
But, like, I probably would fail.
It's one of the best things about teaching online, though.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, but... Because if you are, for example, you are when you're teaching in person, right?
Yeah.
You have to wait for the students to write down the notes,
yep.
and then so you write, and then the students wait, and then they write,
yeah.
and then you have to wait.
Yeah.
So it's really time consuming.
Yeah.
But if it's online, all you have to do is just type in on the chat box,
okay.
and then so that's it's just a log.
Okay.
And then so once you type. It's there, so the students can just review. They can just go online and just see the messages. So that's left as a bunch of messages
okay.
there. So it's really easy for them to review the class, the entire class.
Okay.
And then I always prepare the materials, then share the screen, and
oh,
then
good.
They see it.
Oh, so for your program, are all the lesson materials from you?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
So I don't like to force the clients to buy some textbooks. Textbooks are not very, it's good sometimes, but I don't prefer that. and then they have to spend extra money for the textbooks, right? And
I don't know if you know this secret, but
there's a secret.
There is a secret. I mean, I don't know if it's a secret now, but and I tell people that in my career, I've done curriculum writing. I've taught so many textbooks in my career. And textbooks are from the 70s. Textbooks are made now. If you go to a bookstore and you see all these English Learn textbooks, just besides the textbooks that are used for standardized tests like TOEIC or TOEFL, mm-hmm. just go to the natural or the old school ESL mm-hmm. textbooks. The secret is they're all following the same formula. They just update the situations, uh-huh. and there's no magic to like the best textbook, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of students don't know that, and you're right, you don't want to force students to like mm-hmm. buy this textbook, that textbook. Right. Part of it, it's all about like how you relay yourself and how you when you set up the material for the topic, it's all about just your formula.
Yeah, yeah.
Of teaching, right, and, right. And you know, textbooks doesn't help, you know, like a dumbbell doesn't help you by itself, doesn't help you
it's make just
muscle.
There, like
it's just there,
interior part of like the decoration, it's there, so it's that's why I'm getting some muscles, I'm building some muscles because I'm
exactly, you know,
yes,
like the most expensive running shoe is not going to be you're not going to run like 3 hour, 2 hour
exactly.
mile. You know,
exactly. What you do is more important than.
And yes. that's the biggest secret mm-hmm. that maybe people know or don't know, but like I don't know.
True, mm-hmm. and especially for my clients, they they are not really self motivated. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
This sounds really bad. So it's more they are doing that for their job.
Yeah.
They just have no choice doing it. So in that case, I want to more focus on the subjects that they can apply to more practically.
Exactly.
Yeah, so otherwise they won't work on it. Yeah. Then, you know, they can pretend like they're learning something, but it's not going
to
stay.
It's like you go to a factory and you have a textbook where it has, like, situations of, like, Sato-san receiving complaints from his customer. These factory workers are not going to care about, like, how to receive complaints, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. Like,
yeah, something like
that. Like, they don't care. They're just, they're engineers.
Right, right. So, well, if the situation and the scenario fits,
yeah.
they look so different. You can see that. Through the internet, you can see that. Yeah. They are more focused and they're just very eager to, you know, memorize everything so that they can use that later. So I'm going to use this later.
It's like, that's why I love the textbooks where there's situations of like, oh, how to talk to a foreigner person. And it's like at a bar.
That sounds very practical, isn't it?
I was like, this is my business card. How to pick up people at a bar.
Practical.
Very, very important
practical.
Stuff.
Yes, it is important. But you can't suggest any students to do that.
But if it's on the textbook, you got to just follow it.
Damn. Well, so, yeah. Well, we make materials. So yeah. I used to make everything myself, but now I have an assistant. So my assistant, she has real educational backgrounds, and so she helps me a lot to make very good materials.
Yeah. Awesome.
And then So yeah, so I share the screen. Mm. What were we talking? What was the original?
We're talking about for the teacher.
Yeah. Qualifications.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right, so, open to new technology, right?
Yeah.
And then so I share the screen, and what were we talking about? And
so now you're not nervous anymore about the podcast. Just talking.
I keep laughing. of course, you have to be friendly, because you can't be silent for few more seconds, more than a few seconds on the internet. It feels much longer. You can be just quiet when you are talking in person. You know, just enjoy the silence. Birds are singing.
Yeah.
feeling the wind. It's nice, but
you're teaching a lot online outside, huh? I should do that.
That would be cool though.
I would totally teach online in a park like this.
And then I have sometimes that happens. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't do that, but students are in a lot of different locations.
Yeah.
And then so some of them are like they are taking a business trip very often. Mm. So they are taking a class at the hotel or in their branch office. That happens as well. Then they even take a overseas business trip.
Mm.
And then so, of course, in that case, they have to calculate the time difference.
Right.
But they can still take the class if it's online. So it's really interesting for me as well that I can connect to the people all around the world.
Right.
So, like, let's see. Even
I was going to add on to that. Like, so, because you mentioned about, like, the teacher should be able to have, I guess, have patience to wait for the replies of the students. So I think that's a skill that's a really important thing for both the online and the classroom.
Oh, yeah. Be patient, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But if when it's online, I believe it's easier to help. Because so we have the text message kind of, you know, chat box, right?
Yep.
So all the apps like that have one.
Mm.
So when a student, for example, is just being quiet and seems like he or she's just thinking and being stuck, right? And that's very frustrating moment for the teachers. I know that. So what I do is I type the sentences. So I always read their mind and type the sentences beforehand, and then just, you know, enter.
It's like, well, you're psychic.
Yes, that's my main job.
Yeah.
That's what I do. And then so just enter.
Yeah.
Look at the chat screen. Read it. Like, oh. And then they go like, oh. Right? Yes.
I know that face.
But that's very helpful. Because you don't really want to be impolite if you interrupt. So that's the dilemma that all the language teachers have.
Yes,
and then that's the most challenging part for all the language teachers. I know
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So the tool helps you to feel less frustrated.
Mm, 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 mm.
Yeah.
Coco, I want to say thank you for letting me do this with you. You know, I think for the listeners out there, this is just really awesome that you're providing a service that, you know, with this situation happening now, it didn't need this situation to happen. You've always had it, and I think it's going to be a more important thing in the future.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think so.
Wherever the case may be, for Japanese. So, but I cannot do this online teaching right now. Maybe I'll try though in the future.
Oh yeah, you should.
Maybe I just multitask. Like producing podcasts and teaching at the same time.
Right, yeah.
You know, but I want to definitely have you back on later, maybe for another episode.
I think it doesn't have to be teaching English. Right, yeah.
I just do whatever.
Yeah, do whatever.
Do whatever, talk about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hopefully at a better time, too, than what's happening now. But yeah, do you want to plug anything? You want to promote?
I guess a lot of teachers are trying to find a way to teach online, right? And we have a lot of methods and experience to share. So those people, and also not only the school teachers, the regular English teachers, and doesn't have to be English teachers. Like, if you would like to teach something online, yeah, we are ready to share our experience and knowledge so that you can start out. So it's like, and also people who would like to start out the small business. Under this circumstance, I guess a lot of like small business owners need a site. In that case, it's starting out the online school would be start the online course. It doesn't have to be like the school, but start teaching online will be a very good way to get the kind of like the small side job, I guess. So we are happy to help to start out what to do and how to do. And Lehman Shock was the time that I started doing this kind of thing. And then so the Tohoku earthquake changed the situation again. Then I made everything online. And then now we are facing this another world crisis. And it's hopefully it's going to give us another turning point to benefit other people by something that I know. And we have the special rate for now, four sessions,
okay,
5,000 yen. It's so you can go to the website and just send me a message.
Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah, and I'll put all the links on the podcast.
Uh-huh, list, yes, so. Please.
But yeah.
And also the kids course, and we have the English business writing course too.
Mm.
Uh-huh. So we have the British teacher. She actually lives in Abu Dhabi.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and also we have an another writing teacher is okay. In California.
Okay.
So we can cover like British English and American English.
That's perfect.
So the new consulting course for the people who would like to start teaching online, and also the kids course. Yeah, kids course is really something that I really want to recommend.
Mm.
So that's also that we have the trial, just ad hoc trial. So yeah. if you want to, yeah,
give check a shot.
Yes,
yeah.
Check it out. And yeah, then the writing course as well. Mm. We have a very good writing course. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Coach.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Let's continue enjoying listening to the birds singing.
Yes.
All right. Peace.
To find out more about Coco's online program, I'll put out the links to her website on the podcast episode show notes. You're listening to Made in Japan podcast, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. Feel free to hit me up with any questions, comments, and concerns on my email address, which is japanmademepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you can, and if you want, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Made in Japan Podcast. Also, if you'd like, I have a Ko-fi page to donate and buy me a coffee or a drink. This really does help to support this podcast. Come check it out. It's at ko-fi.com/Made in Japan Podcast. Once again, I want to thank Coco for coming out again and during these times to speak and talk about her business. And I think for those of you who are interested, I think her program is a great, great asset to, you know, learning how to teach online. And on that note, I hope you guys are still doing well and staying safe and mostly staying inside. I hope I can get you guys another guest for this month. For now, just be well, and I'll talk to you guys later. Peace out.